Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
It's a special day around these parts. Aaron's birthday.
I usually just try and, even yesterday someone said, oh, what are you doing for lunch tomorrow? I said, oh, I've got this on, I can't do that. Oh, I could do Thursday. Oh, no, and I didn't realise why they were trying to do something today. It's another day, it disappears.
He's a hopeless romantic, this one.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And how old are you today?
Oh, not yet, not till 9:30 or something tonight. And I'll hold on to that as long as I can.
Really? Okay.
35.
That's great.
Okay, good.
Nothing wrong with 35. And no. How many kids have you got by the time you're 35? That's the impressive bit.
This is the loony light goes off at this point, doesn't it?
No, it's fantastic.
Four kids, yep.
Firstly,
yes.
I have to make an apology because I've ordered you a present, but it's still getting shipped from the States.
Oh, that worries me.
So I've got you an email of the picture of the present, and you can open that first if you want to open your email.
I'm looking at it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The attachment says Star Trek Red.
Yes.
Oh. I'm going to look like such a nerd. A Star Trek t-shirt with the logo. Very nice. Good on you.
And I thought, you know, everybody else's birthday, Aaron, you go out of your way to do this one special thing for them.
Oh, no.
And so.
You didn't.
Today, I've gone out of my way and I've made you your very own birthday plate.
Yes.
Of teacup biscuits.
Oh, you've done a good job too.
Thank you. Well, look, those.
I mean,
the half a Musk lifesaver handles on these things. That's the trick for new players.
It is.
It's not easy.
You've got to get used to because if you're too forceful with the knife, it'll shatter the Musk lolly.
You're not telling me anything new.
At kids' parties, I seem to always get lumped with the task of making the teacup biscuits. And thank you for making them for me.
It's a pleasure, Aaron. You can't eat them until you've had all your vegetables, though.
All right.
And lastly.
All right. Oh, no.
I paid a visit to four very cute little people.
Yes.
To find out from them what they thought was so special about today for you.
Cards.
Cards. Great. And anything else? Why are you giving him a card?
Because he has a birthday cake.
Birthday cake.
Daddy loves chocolate.
Yes, he does. And do you know how old Daddy's going to be?
35.
They're on to
35.
That.
35.
Clever.
Okay.
And what do you have a message for your dad on his birthday?
No. Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Happy birthday, Daddy. Yeah, no, I wasn't having much luck at that point.
No, the screech is something that's common at the moment. Yeah. I don't get it, but all right, yeah.
But they did come through with the goods, Aaron, so from your four beautiful children, this is for you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Daddy. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, my God.
Hip, hip.
Happy birthday.
Hip, hip.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Daddy.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Oh, didn't they do a great job?
Yeah, I like the harmonies and the bit of scatting in there from Jordan was fantastic. They're a talented bunch. You're going to get the Partridge Family going anytime now.
Oh, we'll wheel that out next year.
Can I say that they kept a secret really well yesterday afternoon? Daddy, I've got a secret I can't tell you. Helen came round. Seriously. So, but good on you. Oh, you did well to get that out of them.
Oh,
champion effort.
I did have a little bit of help from your wife.
Okay. With threats of no TV time. And,
I think lollies may have been brought in at one point.
Good. Glad to see. That's why they were so nuts yesterday afternoon. Oh, good on you, Helen. Thank you. That's
happy
lovely.
Birthday. John Hall is from the BBC in London, but it's also his home neighbourhood that's one of the ones that's had the rioting. And like all good Londoners, John is actually an Aussie. Hello, John. What's happening right now?
Good morning, Helen. Well, I actually live in Ealing, which is in West London, and that was one of the suburbs that was really badly hit last night, London time. It's actually quietened down a little at the moment, but we can still hear the police helicopters and the news choppers are going continuously overhead, and also police sirens are going up and down our main street.
So what did you see when you tried to go to work yesterday?
Well, it was a quite interesting journey to work. I actually work night shifts, And I left home just before 8:30 in the evening, London time, and walked straight into the middle of a very large police chase going on less than 500 metres from our front door. And at that time, I didn't actually think much of it, but within probably about 30 seconds, there were four riot vans going up and down our main street chasing people, and then a large crowd were running up the street yelling, "It's kicking off," and they were referring to the fact that there'd already been two nights of rioting in other parts of the city. And so myself and a lot of other people jumped on one of the double-decker buses and got out of there quite quickly. And I went up to the other end of our suburb where there is a train station trying to get to work, and unwittingly got off the bus and walked smack bang into the middle of one of the crowds which were just about to kick off one of the large riots which we saw last night. And it was only the fact that one of my colleagues was passing in her car and screamed out my name as it was all starting to happen. And I ran across the road and jumped in their back seat, and we drove through the police cordon as the riot police were actually moving down our main street, which was, it was something very, very bizarre to watch. It's a street where you shop, you walk down every day, and you're watching riot police running down, and essentially the start of what was going to be a battle that went for several hours last night.
We've heard so many reports on the reasons why these riots are happening, and they all seem to conflict a little bit. And I'm wondering if anyone actually knows anymore. It just seems these things get out of control and this mentality kicks in. What do you think is really behind all of this?
Well, the original rioting started on Saturday in London in a place called Tottenham, and that was in response to a police shooting of a local man. That happened last Thursday, and a peaceful vigil basically on Saturday night turned into a very, very violent riot quite quickly, and a lot of buildings were destroyed, people's homes, their businesses, and those pictures were flashed around the world on Saturday evening. And things did seem to be getting calmer, but then they kicked off incredibly last night. There were just different pockets of the city where there were looters setting fire to all manner of buildings, and they're quite spread out, so no one has been able to claim a definitive reason for what's going on. Some people are claiming it's just young people who are bored on holidays and just inflicting as much damage as possible. To give you an idea, Ealing, which where I live in West London, is a quite affluent part of the city, and that's what took a lot of people by surprise. People were actually out having dinner in the cafes on the pavement, and a few minutes later they were caught up in a full-scale riot, and many of those restaurants and shops are in ruins today.
Is there anything targeted about the buildings that are being burnt, the cars that are getting torched, the shops that are getting looted, or is this just random places getting hit?
Well, I've just walked back in from walking the main street in West Ealing, which is another suburb just down from where I live, and that is a very, very good picture of the fact that this is so ad hoc and completely random that walking down the street you would see one shop would be completely gutted and boarded up and glass everywhere, and then there would be two shops next door that would be completely fine. There seemed to be no rhyme or reason, but it was certainly, we did see some stores that was opportunistic looting. The Panasonic warehouse, for instance, is one which has been completely gutted. There's hardly anything left inside. They ripped down the security shutters and carried away nearly every piece of equipment from inside that store, yet the stores on either side of that have remained untouched.
Just, yeah, it's a hard situation to imagine, and obviously it was hard for the Prime Minister happily holidaying in Italy and his return home, and all police leave has been cancelled, we hear, and every resource is heading into London to try and deal with this. Do you think enough is being done? Is it a bit too late, the response?
There's been a lot of criticism of the official response, but to put this in perspective and to give you some numbers that we've been quoting today, last night on Monday evening in London, there were 21,000 phone calls to the emergency police hotline in London, and that is just a staggering number of call-outs in any city. And for the officers to deal with that, there simply weren't enough people on the ground. So this morning, we were told that there were 6,000, roughly, officers on the ground in London on Monday night when the worst of the rioting happened. this evening, we've already seen the police presence stepped up, and the Prime Minister confirmed earlier in the day there will be 16,000 police officers patrolling the streets of London, and I can tell you they are definitely in evidence. I just passed a convoy of three buses full of riot police going down our main street, and normal officers patrolling the streets, the local parks, even residential streets, officers in pairs just patrolling the neighbourhood to check that everything is okay.
It's getting dark now. What's the mood like as you go into what would be night number five, would it be now?
Yeah, and it's a quite strange mood, actually, out on the street. I've just arrived home, and it is getting dark. I've been out for the last couple of hours just talking to people and taking some photographs in our local neighbourhood, and you could see that earlier in the afternoon it was actually a quite beautiful day. There were lots of curious people out taking photographs of the scene, everyone sharing their stories of what happened. But not long after 5 o'clock, you could see people start to dissipate because the police put out a very, very strong call today for people to stay off the streets in case it escalates tonight. And it appears that people are actually heeding that. There was less traffic on the roads. Walking down our main street in rush hour, it was hard to believe it was rush hour. There were lots of buses. The buses were full with people trying to get home. But it appears people and their cars are staying at home, and the footpaths were mostly empty.
Well, John, can you stop your wandering down the main street of Ealing and please stay safe tonight?
I will try to.
Andrew, Web Guy Morris on a very special day for some technology. Good morning to you, sir.
There's special occasions everywhere, Aaron.
Oh, look, birthday. It's just wonderful.
and happy birthday, Aaron. And look, I am showing envy for a red Star Trek T-shirt. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
That was my gift to Aaron for his birthday.
Yeah, it's very nice. Up there with Doctor Who. Now, okay, yes, you are right in terms of anniversaries yesterday, and we'll get onto this for the last story, but let's do it now, why don't we?
Whatever you like.
Yesterday, Australia made its first mobile phone call 30 years ago. It was the 9th of August, 1981. So happy birthday, mobile phone in Australia. It was on the 007 network. Which
wow.
Was, yes. Got some links there with James Bond and the car phone. How much do you think they originally weighed, the car phone?
Hmm. Oh, they were pretty heavy. Like, must have been a couple of kilos in it.
A couple of kilos, yes, indeed. Heavier than a bike these days, 14 kilograms.
14?
That's ridiculous.
Yes, and they cost $5,000, which people say in today's terms is around $17,000.
Oh,
and they had quite substantial memory too. They stored 16 numbers, and this is the beautiful thing. And I'm trusting that the report is correct. That when it rang in the car, it was usually connected to the horn and the headlights. So the headlights would flash and the horn would sound.
Great for the other drivers around you.
Yes, I don't think that would have lasted too long. I'm sure they would have come up with different devices, different ways of alerting the driver that the phone was ringing. Anyway, YouTube has a great clip from Sale of the Century with Tony Barber offering a contestant one of the prizes that he could win if he comes back tomorrow night. And I think you've got the audio there, Aaron.
Let's have a listen.
John, you'll always get through with these mobile phones. Included is a cellular car phone featuring the latest in advanced technology, plus a lightweight portable phone, both developed and manufactured by Australia's own telephone company. Normally $9,675, tonight $155 from Telecom Australia and the Sale of the Century.
Good stuff, John. Great
all
stuff.
Right. $10,000?
Tell me there were diamonds encrusted all over that thing.
Yeah. It was magic, and I guess, I don't know, you have to watch it as well, because I think this is sort of slightly politically incorrect, would it be? What, having, you know, the certain characters on it? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, we're putting it up on our Facebook page right now. If you want to check out that video, go to Aaron and Helen on Facebook. It is hilarious to step back in time. Let's go shopping, as Tony Barber says.
Yes. Well, now the other two stories are quite eco-friendly, unlike that phone that we were talking about.
Yeah, right.
First is, and you probably, if you've ever been into an Apple store and bought something, you'll notice that they offer you email receipts and don't necessarily offer you a paper receipt. Uh-huh. We can email it to you. Well, that's becoming the trend in the States everywhere.
all the clothing shops like Old Navy store, Nordstrom, they're all doing it now. They're offering receipts by email, electronic receipts. The beauty of having it saved and stored on folders doesn't fade, so when you pull it out to do all your checking at the end of the month.
Oh, yeah, I'm much better with that at tax time.
Yep, so, yep, e-receipts is the way to go, and we are starting to see it here in Australia, definitely with Apple, but they've been doing it since 2005, so wow. They've been on it for a while. The other thing is erasable e-paper, and this is really cool. It's called I2R, and it basically, at the moment, uses a thermal printer, and the paper has liquid crystals on it, and you can write and erase the content up to 260 times. So it's an incredible way to save paper. It's as thin as paper. It just uses this crystal. The way you can totally erase it by just the click of a switch. And it's going to be great for, like, ID badges or signage in stores. So they don't have, you know, sale today, you know, 20% off. They don't have to throw all that stuff out. They just, you know, clean it and put it up and 260 times. So it's a brilliant use of technology and great for the environment. So that's technology today. There was another story, which is really not technology, but it is geeky. And look, if Aaron had a beard, I'm sure he'd have it. It's the beard T-shirt. And basically the T-shirt has different a scale on the front of the T-shirt so you can measure the length of your beard.
That's ridiculous.
Beard. Yeah, no, it's awesome. So, you know, you could have, like, the ZZ Top kind of length beard and a funny name, and then you've got a bikey beard and that trucky beard and all these different descriptions. It's quite it's bright red as well. So, you know, you never know. If you want to grow a beard, Aaron, maybe the beard T-shirt could be for you. Definitely for Fuzz Keto, though. He could definitely use that.
Yeah, I'll think about that for next year. Good on you, Andrew. Thank you, sir.
Okay, see ya.